Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we're going to study 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 33. In this particular passage, Saul says to David, "Thou art but a youth." What happened is that everybody else in the army was running scared from Goliath. So in verse 32, David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." That statement that Saul made, "Thou art but a youth," is the subject of our lesson today, because Saul's concern about David accepting Goliath's challenge was that David was a youth. But you know, David's age was of no consequence in the fight. And the reason is he had prepared himself as a young man to do a grown man's job. I would say about a man like David, he was mature beyond his years. And that's interesting, because it seems today that young men are less mature than their predecessors were at the same age. In other words, if you take a 20-year-old man today and compare him with a man from 30 years ago, that's the same age, 20 years old, you will find that the 20-year-old man 30 years ago was more mature than the 20-year-old man today. A 20-year-old man today is like a teenager 30 years ago, and a 20-year-old 30 years ago is more like a 25 or 30-year-old man today. And that's a bad trend. I say that's a general trend. It's not true certainly in every case, but it's true enough, in my estimation, to be a generally true statement. Then our young people ought to be more mature than that. They ought to be like David. But in order to accomplish what David accomplished, I mean, to do what he did, stand up there as a young man, unarmed, except for that slingshot, to take on Goliath, who was turning back everybody in Saul's army, there's got to be something to that young man's character to convince the king to let him go, because whoever wins, if Goliath wins, then Israel becomes the servants of the Philistines. If the soldier for Israel wins, then the Philistines become the servants of the Israel. So he's not going to put some kid in there when you don't have some prospect or hope of victory. Well, Saul was convinced to let David do this. And so the thing is, he obviously had accomplished something in his life. And I'll guarantee you, it did not come as a natural talent. It was something that he had to work for. Now, notice what David did in his youth that developed him into a man at a young age. Okay? First of all, he cultivated a personal relationship with the Lord. He cultivated a personal relationship with the Lord. Look in chapter 16 at verse 18. When one of the servants recommended David to Saul to help Saul be refreshed from that evil spirit that was troubling him, the servant said of David, "Behold, I have seen a young man, the son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man, a man of war, prudent in matters, a comely person." Watch it. "And the Lord is with him." You know, it's possible for young people to get saved as early as 5 years old. 6 years old, particularly young people that are raised in church, because they hear over and over again things from the Bible. They're hearing a lot of the Word of God. They certainly become aware of the fact that they are sinners, and at a very young age come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Well, I've noticed, though, that when they do, they really don't grow up as young men and young women that really have developed a relationship or cultivated a relationship with the Lord. That's something they usually do when they get older, usually after getting off, you know, school age. I'm talking about now college age. They get away from the Lord, then they accept some responsibility, and by their late 20s, early 30s, they're suddenly coming back. Now they are interested in developing this relationship with the Lord on their own. I mean, that's because usually young people do what they do for the Lord because someone, a parent, a Sunday school teacher, a youth pastor, somebody in their lives is prompting them on everything they're supposed to do as a Christian. They're making them do it. And a lot of times children are complicit. They comply with what they've been asked to do. But then when they get out on their own, they're like, phew, happy days are here. I don't have anybody telling me what to do. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to read my Bible. I'm not going to pray. And then they see that they can't succeed in the Christian life like that. Then they start to develop a relationship with the Lord. David wasn't like that. That Bible says that this servant recognized in him as a young man that the Lord was with him. So he had cultivated a personal relationship with the Lord. He didn't need a mom or a dad or a Sunday school teacher. Obviously, David didn't have one of those. But somebody telling him, hey, you better get close to the Lord. Hey, you better stay right. He didn't need anybody to tell him that. He knew that. And he said, you know what? I am going to take responsibility for my relationship with the Lord God, and I'm going to get to know him. And he got to know him in such a way that other people knew that he knew him. And that's just not the ordinary trend in young people, particularly today. You can't get people say, you just can't get young people to come to church unless you have this kind of music and entertain them and let them come as they are and all that other kind of stuff. Listen, you're just, all you're doing is you're being controlled by the lustful desires of that youth, and they want to stay kids as long as they possibly can. As a matter of fact, it's gotten so bad now, you'll see pastors in churches where there are a lot of youth trying to be like the youth, wearing ripped jeans and putting mousse in their hair and all that other kind of stuff, trying to get down, you know, on the kids' level. And I'm going to tell you something. All you're doing is prolonging immaturity. And David was not like that at all. He might have been a youth in terms of age, but he was a man in that young age because he had said, I am going to personally know the Lord, and I'm going to have fellowship with him and take responsibility for that. I don't need somebody to tell me what to do with that. I'll tell you something else about David. Though he was a youth, he was a man in his youth because he developed good study habits. Look again in 16:18. The Bible says that he was prudent in matters. And I know we studied this as a character trait, but look what it took to get it, okay? He was prudent in matters. He developed good study habits. He increased his knowledge and developed in wisdom and understanding. Those are the things you read about in Proverbs, so that he could prudently handle matters. And many young people simply don't know how to do that. They learn how to make the grade, but few learn how to use the knowledge they're accumulating to become skillful in that knowledge and to be responsible citizens. Now, I've got a friend of mine, and he said in our Sunday school, by the time we get these teens into Sunday school class, they already ought to know the basics. They already know the doctrines. And what we want to do then is train them to be good citizens, and so by the time they get to be 18 years old, they are good functioning citizens of the United States of America. Listen, by the time they're, you know, 21 or whatever, they're going to be voting, right? And so you want them to be really, really well trained, not just educated. Now, there's a big difference between educating somebody and filling their head full of knowledge and training them where they can take that knowledge that they've learned and increase that knowledge and develop in wisdom and develop in understanding and prudently handle themselves and handle their matters. And it takes good study habits to do that. And obviously, David had developed those. And so I would say that one of the downfalls of young people today is that many of them, not all, many, don't have good study habits. You know, I was talking to our own children recently, and they were talking about this and that, because every one of them still studying. And I said, listen, you know, I'm almost 60 years old, and I am still studying every single day. It is a good thing as a child that I developed good study habits, because, listen, till I die, I am not going to get away from studying. You just can't do it, not do what we do. So he says, thou art but a youth. All right, well, the sooner that you get on with your study habits, the better. I remember when I was a child, I wasn't a very much of a student, not a very good student. And I told my parents at a young age that I wanted to go away to school, and I did. I went to a boarding school. I wasn't sent there as a discipline problem. I went there, I don't know, just, it's not even relevant to our conversation right now. But the thing is, I remember coming back home after my first year of school away from home as a high school student, and I sitting down and having a conversation with my parents, and my father turned to my mother and he goes, you know, this thing's really working. Our son actually knows how to communicate and get his ideas across, and he's not saying and like every other word. Have you ever talked to children today? I know I'm getting ahead of myself, because there's something I want to say about this, but now that it's on my mind, I'll say it right now. Have you ever noticed that children that just, well, what, you know, like John and I were like going to go down to the down to the pool and like, you know, swim, like, but when we got there, like there was some like, you know, that, what do you think, did this person learn ever to study in order to be able to communicate some ideas to somebody else prudently? Obviously David did. All right, he cultivated his own personal relationship with the Lord. He developed good study habits, but that's not all. He pursued useful extracurricular activities. Look again in 16:18. He was cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man, a man of war. He learned to play an instrument well, and he became a valiant soldier in his spare time. Both of these served him well for his entire life. He was a prolific psalmist. You ever read the Psalms? Most of them were written by David. And he was an excellent military commander. As a matter of fact, the Lord wouldn't let him build the temple because he had shed too much blood. And you know what? When you compare David as a young man to children today waste hours and hours in front of a television set, or waste hours and hours in front of a computer watching movies or playing video games or updating their Facebook page, and neither has any lasting or redeeming value at all. I remember when our children were young, I'm talking about 1990 now, so we're 22 years ago, and we'd say, come to the table, and they'd say, but this is our favorite show. And I was like, I hadn't been home all day. I've been working all day and getting ready to go to school, and I have, you know, 30 minutes to sit down with the family and enjoy a meal, and they want to watch some television show, and I'm thinking, what is this? And the next day, come to the table. Well, this is our favorite show. Well, wait a minute. It's not the same show that you were watching yesterday, and yesterday seemed to be your favorite show. And I realized, obviously, we've got a trend here, and this is a bad pattern. So we took the TV and just disconnected the cable. That's right. In 22 years ago, we just disconnected the cable. I don't know what it costs to run cable to your home, but just think about 22 years of that and the monthly bills you've paid to run cable in there, and how well that served you. And I'll tell you what it did. Our children began to read prolifically. They love to read. And consequently, they've turned out to be pretty decent students, and they can read, and they're knowledgeable, and they talk about some things and whatever. So we assisted them in developing some of their extracurricular activities. And I won't say that everything they learned was beneficial in the way that David learned some things. I think we still could have done a better job, but I certainly saw that television as an enemy to anything, any attempt to try to help them pursue useful extracurricular activities. Okay? So here's what he did. He said, look, I have some interests, and in order to be any good at these interests, I am going to have to work at those. You don't become a valiant soldier by playing video games of shooting people. And you don't become an accomplished man on a harp by listening to rock and roll music. That don't happen. It just does not happen. He had to put away those other childish things and sit down and go to work on these matters so that he could become something at a very young age that was useful. He pursued useful extracurricular activities. Now, ask yourself the question. If you're young, what am I doing that I can use for the rest of my life? And that's going to benefit me for the rest of my life, like David did. How is this time that I'm spending going to help me down the road? If you're older and you're raising your children, you might ask the same question. How is running them back and forth to the soccer field every day like a chauffeur going to stand them in stead down the road? Now, I'm not opposed to athletics. Don't misunderstand me. I've seen people in churches and those that were participant in athletics learned teamwork, learned to take orders, learned diligence, and learned that it takes work in order to accomplish anything. So I'm not saying that's all bad, but sometimes those athletics dominate, and suddenly they can't get to church, and suddenly they're compromising their studies. You got to put those things in balance and ask yourself the question, is this athletic event going to serve them as well as perhaps taking these same athletic skills and using them in a martial art? I'm not going to answer the question for you, but you understand if they want to burn some energy and do something, consider which one of those two might be the better thing. All right, I'll tell you something else about David. He cultivated a personal relationship with the Lord. He developed good study habits. He pursued useful extracurricular activities, and he also handled his chores responsibly. He handled his chores responsibly. Go to chapter 17 now and look at verse 15. You know, Saul said to David, "Thou art but a youth." Well, he was talking to more of a man than he had in his ranks of all the other soldiers. The Bible says in 17:15, David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Notice again in verse 20, David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. Okay. The next thing then is he handled his chores responsibly. And may I say this, because you see it in verse 20, you know, he did whatever his dad told him to do. So I'm going to just include that in he handled his chores responsibly. Well, I'll tell you what, some young people, dad says, do this. I don't want to. Do this. I'll get to it when I want to. Do this. I want to go play with Jimmy. Do this. Dad, you always ask me to do that. Some kind of lip. Why do you want me to do it? How come Johnny doesn't get to do it? And all that other kind of stuff. You know what? David wasn't like that. David was the young one. He was given the assignment of taking care of his father's sheep. And you know what? He handled those sheep like they were his own. He didn't head to that battle until he assigned that chore to a keeper. He treated that flock as if it were his own. And I'm telling you now, listen. Children, don't give your parents any lip about your chores. And parents, don't take any lip from your kids. If you want them to grow up and be responsible and be manly, if it's a young boy, manly in their youth, then they're going to have to just suck it up and learn to do what they're told when they're told to do it. Now, listen, if you have a child that can manage his schedule well, okay, and the chore that you're assigning doesn't need to be done in the next 5 minutes. It's the kind of thing that can be done in the next 2 days. It is appropriate, I believe, but you handle it however you want to. If you say to your son, now, get this done. And then your son says, all right, what's the time frame? You say, okay, well, it needs to be done by tomorrow night. And he says, fine, by tomorrow night, that chore will be done. Then that gives him some flexibility to work that into the other things that he's doing and have that chore done on time. Of course, if it's the kind of thing that needs to be done right now, then you expect him to do it right now. But some kids are good at managing their own time, and they don't need to be forced into doing something right now when it's not the kind of chore that needs attention right now. It just needs it by the end of the week, for instance. Paint the garage. Okay, I'll have it done. When do you want it done? I want it done by Monday next week. Fine. Monday next week, it will be painted. Whether he starts mixing paint in the next 5 minutes or he does it on Saturday, it doesn't make any difference. So come Monday, it will be done. That was David. He handled his chores responsibly. Listen, when a young man learns to follow like that, he'll learn to lead. Okay? When a young man learns to follow like that, he'll learn to take care of his own stuff. How many kids are there that leave their rooms in just the sloppiest condition all the time? You get in there and you say, pick it up, pick it up, pick it up, pick it up. And all they do is just throw more on the, you know what? You're going to have a hard time with that person being manly or being womanly as he grows up because they don't handle their stuff responsibly. And David did, and he was obedient. All right, here's something else. Saul said to David in 1 Samuel 17:33, thou art but a youth. David said, you know what? I'm more of a man than you think I am. And here's the reason why. He cultivated a personal relationship with the Lord. He took responsibility for that. He developed good study habits. He pursued useful extracurricular activities, handled his chores responsibly. And here's something else. He knew how to handle himself in the presence of the king. He knew how to handle himself in the presence of the king. Look at this thing in 17:32. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear. He'll deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto him, go, and the Lord be with thee. Well, yeah, I'll tell you what, that's not an ordinary teenage type response to the king of the country. Seriously, we were talking about conversational skills. Can you imagine, David? Well, it's like this. King. Like, you know, I realize, you know, like this guy is a big dude and all, you know, like that. And like, I'm just going to like tell you, you know, I just like think that we don't need to be sitting around here in these trenches. Like, I can just go out there and, you know, I can. Can you just imagine some kid the way they talk today handling that kind of conversation? Listen, David developed conversational skills that were acceptable to Saul. He made no apologies for his ability, and he made no apologies for his preparations. He was confident, he was willing, and he expressed himself like a veteran, not like a guy that had never been in battle. David had never been to war, and yet the servant that talked to Saul said, he's a man of war. Why? Because he recognized in David, there's something in this guy. He was so convincing that Saul didn't even try to argue with him and didn't try to talk him out of fighting. Like I said, most kids today use so much slang, they spend so much time texting, that they wouldn't have a clue what to say to most adults, much less a king. Now, I've noticed that. You walk up and see kids out in the street or, you know, even in church or whatever, and you try to strike up a conversation. They don't even know what to say to you. They don't know how to talk to you. I realize part of that is the difference in age, and some of that has to do with just the intimidation of being around an older person. But the thing is, they talk about things that older people aren't interested in. David, look, you know, he said, I'm not going to occupy my time with small, stupid conversations like that. One of these days, I may have to take responsibility for something, and I want to be able to communicate in such a way that the people who have to give me permission will be willing to do so, and that the people who have to follow me will believe that we're going to come out okay. He knew how to handle himself in the presence of the king. That's a man, not a kid. Saul said to David, thou art but a youth. In fact, he was young in age, but he was very manly. Because you know what else he did? He attained leadership skills and a manly deportment. Look in chapter 18. Chapter 18, verse 5. Last thing, okay? 18:5. David went out whithersoever Saul sent him. That's no surprise. He was used to doing that for his father. So when he was given the responsibility by the king, did the same thing. He's a responsible man, see? David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now, this guy was younger than most of the men that were following him in his command. How did he do that? He attained leadership skills, and a manly deportment is how he did it. You know, indeed he was a youth, but he could lead men who were older than him, and they were glad to follow him. You know what? Kids today want to look like kids. But David didn't. He wanted to look like a man, and he wanted to be a man. And that's what he became. Now, God's children have to rise above the crowd. They have to learn to lead and carry themselves as the type of people that others want to follow. God's people in a business climate, in a work environment, ought to surface to the very top. And the reason is, you're honorable, you're honest, your integrity should be irreproachable and impeccable. Your duty to the Lord should be so high that you work harder because you're a Christian than anybody else that's working. Now, if other people are going to follow you and you're going to lead in your employment, then you're going to have the bearing of a person that other people are willing to follow. It's like a soldier said, your men ought to know who the commander is even when they're not in uniform. They shouldn't have to see your stripes. They ought to see your deportment, your manliness, your womanliness, your God devotion. That's what David had. So let's review it. Saul said, you're but a youth, and David had more manhood than most kids because he had cultivated his own relationship with the Lord. He developed good study habits. He pursued useful extracurricular activities. He handled his chores responsibly and obediently. He knew how to handle himself in the presence of the king, and he attained leadership skills and a manly deportment. Now that will make a young man, a mature man, before he ever reaches 20 years old. God bless you as you do it.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible.